Welcome to the Inspire to Invest podcast, where we're sharing stories from real estate investors and how investing has changed their lives. This episode of Inspire to Invest has been brought to you by the Canadian Real Estate Women Association, also known as CRUA.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Inspire to Invest podcast. I have Tiffany Dawson here with me today. She also goes by Tiffany the Lender, and she began walking in her purpose as a senior loan officer with Newleaf Funding in Irvine, California. She loves sharing her personal experience as a real estate investor, as well as her professional experience as a mortgage agent to help families achieve generational wealth through home ownership. Her purpose in life is sharing the importance of financial literacy and wealth building with anyone that she encounters, as she wants us all to enjoy financial freedom. So that inspires me. So thank you so much for being part of the show today, Tiffany. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. So I guess just to get started, obviously in your bio, you do allude to being a real estate investor. Can you shed some light on the kinds of real estate investments that you've been part of?
Definitely. I started out by, purchasing my primary residence that then became our first rental property. Yeah. And from then we continued to buy. So we're buy and hold investors. Yeah. So we bought properties and put long-term tenants in there. We did have one property that was a short-term rental up in a vacation area. Yeah. Which has since, been taken down from the short-term rental site and just used for our family's vacations. But nice. Yeah, that's pretty much the realm that we're in. I do want to, look into fix and flips and things like that, but we aren't quite there yet.
Nice. So what was your catalyst then to start investing in real estate outside of your primary residence?
Definitely knew it was something that I wanted to get into, especially since 90% of most folks' wealth comes from real estate. So I knew mm-hmm. it was something that I wanted to explore and also build upon, so that way in, our older days or whenever I decide to call a quits on lending or whatever role I'm in at the time, I wanted to be able to have that income coming in, knowing that it will continue to appreciate and give me the flexibility to be with my daughter. That was the biggest thing.
No, that makes perfect sense. Now, obviously, you're kind of walking the line, working as a mortgage agent, but also as an investor. Do you have plans to ideally work towards being a full-time investor?
Of course. When I started this journey as a loan officer back in January of last year, that was the first step into, making real estate something that I do full-time, both, as a business and also for our investing side. Yeah. Knowing that I hope to do this maybe 3 to 5 years, was my initial thought. Yeah. I actually like what I do and the ability to educate others on the products available and ways to work around certain things so that they're able to purchase a home or build a portfolio. So as long as I continue to enjoy it, I'll stay as a loan officer. Yeah. But eventually, I really feel strongly about building a portfolio and continuing to add doors, so that passive income that comes in every month will, be our retirement essentially.
Yeah. No, that makes perfect sense. And I think for a lot of people out there, there's a lot of jobs nowadays that don't necessarily come with a retirement plan or, even just to combat inflation. I think the average job is cutting it. So I think it's both of those things that really make real estate investing so important and just something for anyone to consider outside of just your traditional like mutual funds and stocks and things that, maybe considered a little bit more mainstream.
Yeah, definitely good to diversify. I've looked at a couple articles lately on large corporations that have folded or filed bankruptcy and that impacted their workforce that may have committed, 20, 30 years to them thinking that they had money coming in their retirement days. And unfortunately, that was taken away. Yeah. So for me, I wanted to be able to control it no matter what happens in the market. Rent typically doesn't go on sale. Yes, maybe you'll knock a couple $100 off or something like that. Yeah. But in the grand scheme of things, if your property is paid for and that tenant's paying you $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 a month, that's your money that you control. So
That's significant. Now, is your portfolio primarily centered in California or have you ventured out of state as well?
So right now I have 100% of my properties in California. With the way that the market has shifted, obviously cash flow is a little tough to get in this market because we have really high price points and our interest rates are also high. So that's eating away at the potential cash flow. So now Midwest is usually where most folks are talking about investing. I personally have not taken the leap to go out of state as of now.
Yeah.
I've just kind of changed my strategies and looked more for seller finance type opportunities that would have lower interest rates and still allow me to purchase locally. I'm hands-on. So
yeah, no, that makes sense. So are you managing all of your rental properties yourself at this point in time? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I know that can come with your fair share of challenges.
Yeah, but that makes it hard to try to venture out into the Midwest. Like right now, I can drive to any of my properties. You know, I do everything from selecting them, controlling the rehab or additions that we do, listing the properties, vetting the tenants, putting them in. And usually it's not that big of a deal. A lot of people are like, oh, wow, you actually self-manage. And I'm like, well, yeah, because they're mine. They're my babies, right?
Yeah.
It's not the same as hiring someone else to do it for you.
Yeah, I think there's pros and cons depending on what your plan is. Like for a lot of the people that move over to multifamily, they want to do that because if someone moves out, it's a non-event. They can hire a property manager. But at the same time, you've got to be, you know, at the point where you're ready to give up that element of control and just, you know, there's pros and cons to everything. I was talking to someone that invests a lot in the Midwest and they're primarily focused on midterm rentals. And that seems to be a pretty lucrative strategy just in terms of the cash flow, because a lot of times it could be people working in construction or in the medical field. So they go into areas that are, say, a center point of five major hospitals or something like that. And they can get anywhere from, you know, $2,000 to $3,000 a month in rent for someone that's going to stay from anywhere for a couple months up to maybe 6 months. So it's cash flowing better than maybe your average rent, but then they're picking up these properties for like $100,000. So it was a really interesting strategy. I mean, for me being in Canada, buying in the States, you know, maybe comes with a little bit of added complexity, but it's something that they've done really well. And, you know, just building up their property management to take care of it and stuff like that. And then you're not necessarily dealing with landlord-tenant rules that you would in a long-term, but you can also benefit from a little bit higher rent that's not quite a short-term rental, but, you know, just kind of playing in that midfield.
No, totally. You're right. I feel like it definitely depends on one, your team, right?
Yeah.
Anyone can have a great experience if they have a great team. The moment your team has a hole in it or falters, like that's where the stress comes in. Yeah. And that's not something that I've had built up. And I know from the folks I've talked to who have invested out of state, they always, you know, focus heavy on you have to build a team. But obviously in building that, you're going to go through some bad apples, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not at that point yet, but it's high on my list if California continues to be, you know, in the situation that we're in now where it's difficult to find a cash flow.
Yeah, no, I can understand that. It's the same way where I live. So I've stayed out of, everything I bought has actually been out of province for me, just because it's hard to find good cash flowing opportunities and the landlord-tenant rules are really favorable for the tenant. So that can create some really significant challenges here. But going back to your portfolio, when you look at, you know, your journey now as a real estate investor so far, what would you say you would look at as something you're most proud of or you feel like is your biggest success so far?
I would just literally go back to the fact that I took the initial step to purchase to begin with, because a lot of people, they straddle the fence, especially in this market, they straddle the fence and don't even take the step to become a first-time home buyer. My very first property I bought at 22, so like you don't see that very often, but it was high on my priority list, like go to college, graduate, buy a house. And if I hadn't have done that, I wouldn't have built the amount of equity that we gained in that property to be able to leverage and parlay into our other purchases. So that would be the thing that I'm the most proud of. And it's definitely something that I talk to a lot of younger folks or college folks, just anyone that I can talk to, like just buy whatever you can afford. Trust me, it will continue to go up and you'll be able to do far better things. Like the house we have now, I absolutely love. And I don't know that I would have had this house had I not started with all the other ones.
Yeah, no, I think that makes perfect sense. That was really high on my priority list once I started working as well. So I completely relate to that. Now you talked about seller financing. So for anyone that's looking to get in the market that maybe can't qualify for their own financing or doesn't have a big down payment, can you talk a little bit more about how that works and how you've actually found people that are willing to do that for you?
It's so funny because I had a couple opportunities come up last week. I work with a number of wholesalers, and of course you have to find the wholesalers that are going to work well with your style. But I've been fortunate to run into a few. So those opportunities presented themselves where the properties were paid off. and the seller wasn't looking to necessarily get all of their profit at one time or realize that whole gain and pay taxes on the entire gain.
Yeah.
Instead, he would be in a position to act as the mortgage servicer. I would pay him a monthly payment. And we had agreed on 5% interest, which right now is hard to find. So I would pay him, you know, interest only was our agreement for about 15 years, unless I decided to refinance sooner and completely pay the loan off to him and then have someone else take over. As far as like my clients getting those opportunities, most of the ones that I've had come to me for financing or to refi out of seller finance, it was from relationships that they had, whether you know a neighbor who, you know, may just want to get cash flow every month and not have the headache of doing the maintenance and all those things. I had a call come in yesterday. The young lady went door knocking. She's an investor and she does a lot of flips. She just happened to fall in love with one of the properties and, you know, decided that maybe she would keep it and use traditional financing, or maybe she would do seller financing, whichever one made more sense for her.
I think in this day and age, just with, you know, just the high cost of real estate, I'm not sure what is. I'm sure California's expensive. I mean, for us here, it's hard to even find a townhouse below $1 million, right? But I think really the point is you just have to get creative and think outside of the box, right? And find people that are maybe taking advantage of these strategies so that you can learn how you can take advantage of them as well. Now you look back at some of the challenges that you've had. What do you think is one of the biggest obstacles that you've had to face and overcome?
Biggest obstacles, I would probably say in between having the condo and moving on to our next property, we were self-employed. And if Canada is anything like the US, with self-employed folks, obviously you're getting the income and then you need to report it and then have a tax bill. And no one wants the tax bill as an entrepreneur. They're trying to figure out what all they can deduct so that way they're minimizing their liability. And that doesn't put you in the best position to purchase, because now it looks like your income is below what you need to qualify. So I think that was a really huge obstacle for us, and it held us back from being able to actually purchase more properties sooner. Obviously, once the market corrected itself from the 09 crash or 08 crash, and some of those more non-traditional loan products came around. We actually used a bank statement loan recently to purchase our house that we have now. And had I known about, you know, some of the alternative options, but again, I wasn't in the right circles or wasn't connected with the correct people to be able to present all those opportunities for me. So every time I hear something that may be an obstacle for someone, I'm always trying to figure out how can I like get a solution to fix that problem.
I mean, I completely understand that. I had my own business for 18 years. When I bought my very first home in 2007, I guess it was, I had a blended income for 1 year and they would only look at one source of income. So even though the income was stable for a few years, they looked at it like the income went from here to here, from 1 year to the next. And, you know, they perceived me as higher risk. So that was some challenges. And then even 4 years later, when we moved, they wanted 30% down instead of 20% down just because I was self-employed. And I was like, well, that doesn't make any sense. And I needed the money liquid for renovation. So I ended up going the route of a traditional bank. And I had a friend there that was able to, you know, work her magic and make it happen, because the other broker was, you know, trying to get me to put up a lot more. So it's hard enough being an entrepreneur. I don't know why they make it so much harder.
But that's where you definitely have to tap into your network and just continue to push your agenda, right? If you're looking for something and maybe one person is unable to offer those products, because like you said, your friend at the bank had something that this other broker didn't, and that's common. You just have to continue to push forward. There may be a solution or at least a plan that you can tweak a little bit to get where you're trying to go.
Now, would you say, what would you say is the biggest lesson that you've learned so far?
The best lesson that I've learned, I would definitely say, in being a real estate investor, is to properly vet your tenant. They say the best lesson is a paid lesson. So I moved a little fast one time and let someone move in. She gave me a sob story on being, you know, a single mom and needing somewhere for her kids. And of course, that hit my heart. So I'm like, okay, move in. That was the worst decision I could ever make. So moving forward, I've continued to vet folks the same way I would for someone I'm pre-approving for a loan. Yeah. I ask for all of that documentation and follow up to make sure it's all accurate.
Yeah.
So do your best.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. So on that note, we're just going to take a really brief break for a word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
The Canadian Real Estate Women Association, also known as CRUA, is a national, not-for-profit association of female professionals working and investing in Canadian real estate. They believe that women have no limits in the real estate world. They're looking to connect with leaders in the industry who will share the strategies that they use in real estate, along with exclusive details of their life experience, which are important for consistent personal and professional growth and happiness. To learn more, go to crua.ca.
Thanks again for following along with this episode of Inspired to Invest. In addition to real estate, investing, and running my own brand experience agency for 18 years, I also published a book called The Accidental Entrepreneur in October of 2021. This is my story, and it chronicles how I turned tragedy into triumph to embrace my destiny in entrepreneurship. If you're interested in picking up a copy, you can find the link at serenahomesrealtor.com, and you can also find my link tree with all of the retailers in the details below. Thanks again for your support.
Inspired to Invest is proud to support the Beyond Success program. In today's complex world, it's absolutely crucial for our youth to learn how to take charge of their financial future. We believe that every young person deserves access to accurate, practical financial information. Designed to bridge the gap, the Beyond Success program leverages a comprehensive educational bootcamp to equip young minds with essential financial literacy skills. At Beyond Success, it's not just about teaching financial literacy, it's also about fostering a foundation for a prosperous and empowered future. Join us. Together, we can build a brighter financial future for the next generations. Join us. Together we can build a brighter financial future for the next generations.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Inspired to Invest podcast. I have Tiffany Dawson here. She's talking about her experience as a real estate investor and also as a mortgage agent, helping people understand the value of real estate so that they can create that long-term generational wealth. And we've been talking about successes and challenges and lessons. And I guess one thing that I want to know is, what would be the craziest thing that's happened to you so far as a real estate investor?
Ooh, so one of the properties we purchased is in a snowy area. It's all four seasons, but it was around the holiday season. So we were due for some snow and my water bill came. It was like $900.
Wow.
The house is this big. So I was like, what is going on here? We had just closed maybe a couple months prior, but we had a main water leak. Mm-hmm. And I tried my hardest to get that repaired sooner than later. But unfortunately, everyone on the mountain was like, absolutely not. It's snowing. Call us in the spring.
Oh, no.
So I had to like beg the water company not to cut it off because they were concerned about waterways and waited for about 4 months until the spring arrived for them to replace it. But that was just crazy. Like you hear of things happening as soon as you buy. But I had never had that experience before. And I was just like, okay. That's a new one.
Yeah. I mean, I have a friend that bought a property not too long ago and it wasn't a rental, but the main sewage line actually backed up into their basement, like not too long after, because they had clay piping. So it burst and backed everything up. So you can imagine like they just were moving in, they had stuff everywhere and they were dealing
with that.
So that was not pleasant. And then I also had a property out of province. And like we were talking about, like it was a really big bill that came in, but for electricity. And at this point, I'd had the property for a few years and it went from, you know, I'd say the average electricity bill was like $150. And it went from 150 to like 700, 1100, 1500. And month over month, it kept going electricity. And I said to the property manager, like, you have to go in. Like, this makes no sense. Like, this isn't an incremental increase. This is like huge increases. Like, do they have a grow up? Like, what is happening?
Yeah, that's definitely what it sounded like.
Yeah, that's a good thing. So they actually ended up going in and it turned out that they put a big space heater in the garage because the temperatures get so cold in Edmonton. They were worried about their cars not starting in the morning because of the batteries dying. So, you know, space heaters obviously use a tremendous amount of electricity. So it just kept on significantly impacting the bill. Yeah. So they got it resolved. They ended up paying the difference and stuff like that. Cause that was, you know, at the time that was only cash flow, maybe $300 or $400 a month. So an electricity bill of that size was not happening. But at the time, it took 3 months for the property manager to go in and check it out. So going back to your point about teams, I think that's obviously so important. Now, I guess to this point, have you had any experience with like coaching or mentors to guide you through your experiences as a real estate investor?
Yeah. So one of my really good friends from high school actually was an investor prior to me becoming one. And she kind of showed me everything that she did and just how she had built her portfolio and encouraged me to just be coachable and follow along on the journey and just trust her guidance. Obviously, you know, researching on my own and making sure it made sense, but just at the point where I was really scared and like ready to go, but still wanting to like hold back just a little, she gave me that nudge and I followed the plan, and like literally my income is 6 times more from the rentals that I have now compared to what I had when I started.
Yeah, no, that's smart. What would you say is the best advice that you've received so far?
Best advice is just to continue to buy in any market, because we know that the appreciation will continue to occur. Interest rates are going to do what they do, right? They're going to go up and down. But one thing that's not going to change, like I said before, is the rent. Right? Like the rent is not really going to go on sale. If anything, I'm very consistent in doing, you know, incremental increases as the leases expire, or when I put it back on market, I do list at the market price. So that's never going to change. So I know that I just have to continue to move forward with it, knowing that I'll refi at some point when rates pull back.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Now, what would you say is next for you in terms of growing your portfolio?
I would probably say just exploring other options. Like I stated about the seller financing was one that I had never thought about before, but now I'm looking more into it, and I've been in contact with a number of folks who are looking into it and have questions about it as well.
Yeah.
Just because it's the solution for now. Of course, there's going to be pros and cons with anything. So that's one. The other thing I would say is just definitely looking at exploring other markets that are a little bit further, but I don't quite want to do that alone. I'd like to do that. Like my friend, for example, that I was telling you helped build my portfolio, had looked into buying in the Midwest. And had she done that, then okay, I'll go buy where she buys. We build our team together.
Yeah.
So that way I have someone that I can work with and bounce ideas off of to make sure that we're getting the best possible. Or if I needed to fly out, check on her properties, or vice versa, she would go check on mine and just have somebody so I wasn't completely alone in uncharted waters.
Yeah, no, I think that makes sense, because I think when you are, you know, whether an entrepreneur or an investor, sometimes it can be really isolating. So I can see why in some situations you'd want to partner with someone depending on exactly what you're trying to do. Now, do you have a particular financial freedom number in mind? And that could be like number of doors, cash flow, income.
So initially I was just really focused on number of doors, because especially when you listen to other folks, they're like, okay, you need this many doors at $300 cash flow. California is not just $300 cash flow in a traditional interest rate market. So I had a dollar amount in mind, but with inflation and everything else, that's totally out the window.
Yeah.
So now I would say it's closer to about $30,000 a month is what I would like to have.
Yeah.
If my main property was paid for, and if I pay my car off, ideally, it would be $30,000.
Okay, nice. And then I guess in terms of motivational quotes, what would you say is something that inspires you?
That's a tough one, because I had it in my mind and then I didn't. One of the biggest things that I just always quote when I talk to folks, and even when I'm talking to myself, is like, buy now, don't wait to buy, you know.
Yeah,
it's just buy and wait until the rates come down, but don't wait to buy. The prices are going to continue to increase, especially when rates drop. And that's my fear, is for anyone who is in a position to purchase now and not doing it simply out of concern for the number that the interest rate is at.
Yeah,
I want them to be more concerned with the purchase price that will come once that interest rate gets to the number that they want.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. Now, for anyone that wants to connect with you, what's the easiest way for them to get a hold of you?
Definitely Instagram would be the first. It's pretty simple, Tiffany the Lender, just like you see here. And also my website is www.tiffanythelender.com.
Okay, perfect. Awesome. Well, thank you again for being here today. And for anyone that's watched and they'd like to see more episodes of Inspired to Invest, please make sure that you like, comment, and subscribe so you don't miss anything. You can also follow along on Instagram at Inspired to Invest Podcast. Thank you so much for being here today, Tiffany. And of course, for anyone that's tuning in, either on YouTube or on your favorite audio streaming platform. And remember, when you invest in yourself, the sky's the limit.
Thank you, Serena.
Thank you. I'm just going to hit stop.
Thank you again to the Canadian Real Estate Women Association for bringing you this episode of Inspired to Invest.
The views represented on this podcast are for general information only and does not constitute investment or other professional advice or an offering of securities. The host and guests featured on Inspired to Invest make no representations as to the performance of any particular investment. Should you decide to make an investment, you are responsible for conducting your own review and analysis. It is recommended that you obtain independent legal, accounting, and tax advice from licensed professionals.